We are having an abbreviated service this morning because our church family is involved in a funeral service at 2 o'clock this evening, and we needed a little more turnaround time. And so we've not had any special music or any more singing. And as one pastor announced to his congregation, said, "My sermons are a lot like bologna. You can just cut them off anywhere." So I don't know whether that's a compliment or not, but that's what he said. Maybe you won't think that. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, beginning at verse 8, "Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened to the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study is awareness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." I think we've all had the same experiences from the viewpoint of buying something, maybe a pretty important object, something that's going to cost quite a bit of money and may even be a little bit complicated. So we'll start out with listing this will cost this much and this will cost this much, and then we'll need to add this and that. Finally, you tire of hearing all of that and you say, "Well, what's the bottom line?" That's after you've given me the bottom line, then I'll know whether I need to listen to all this stuff or not. And God has given us in verse 13 the bottom line. I mean, after everything else has been said and done, and we've wallowed it around in our minds, finally the conclusion of the whole matter is this: fear God and keep his commandments. That's not difficult advice to comprehend nor to give. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line of my life, your life, and every human's life and their existence on this earth. But you'll notice that the reading this morning began with "vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity." Well, the word really means emptiness. Empty things, empty things. Everything's empty, which means that really doesn't have any meaning and perhaps no importance. When you consider the bottom line, when you consider the bottom line. Now, I'm wearing a fairly wide tie, but they've got some now that are so wide it feels like you're wearing a diaper. And a few years ago, I had some about an inch wide, strings. I used to worry about stuff like that, but I found out it's not that important. I just wear what I've got and go on. Because when it's all said and done, that didn't have much meaning about my character or my service or anything else. I was just trying to stay in vogue. And I guess a lot of things have sort of gotten to that point in my life. What has meaning? What has value? What doesn't have meaning? What doesn't have value? But when you look at it from the perspective of our existence on earth, you begin to look around and say, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on that's not important that people think's important. Vanity of vanity. That is empty, empty, empty. when it's all said and done. Now, that's a pretty pessimistic view of life. I understand that. But you have to understand that this is Solomon, and he wanted to fill his life with as much carnality as possible so that he might find what is satisfactory, what does satisfy us, what gives us the feeling of accomplishment so that when we lie down at night we say, you know, this was a good day. I feel like I did something worthwhile, something lasting, perhaps even eternal. But that's not like mowing your yard. Oh, you're glad you got it mowed, but you know what you're thinking? If it don't frost, I'll have to mow it again. It's empty. There's no lasting satisfaction with it except just the few minutes you enjoy when you're putting up the lawnmower. That's kind of satisfactory. You've got it done. Looks good. But we'll have to do it again. That's life viewed from the bottom without looking up and seeing what is ahead. Now, in order to clarify what he has written, he says, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, that is, the one who wrote this followed wisdom, he still taught the people knowledge. In other words, even though life has some serious problems from the viewpoint of what's important and what's not, you certainly will not know what's important unless you are taught. And so he said, I didn't quit teaching people. I wanted them to have knowledge. In fact, I gave good heed. That is, I really put some thought into it. And I sought out, I went out and searched, and I talked to people and got their viewpoint on life and what was the bottom line and what's the principal thing for us to do. And I set in order, that is, I established according to my understanding of these proverbs, I gave them an orderly system. And in so doing, I hope that people can gain some knowledge from experience and from the experiences of other people, and therefore they'll not feel so terribly empty about their lives and where they have been and where they're going. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. That is, words that bring us joy. Not just acceptable in the sense of the sentence structure and vocabulary, such as poetry, may be beautifully arranged and it may have a lot of moving statements, but it may not be the thing that reveals to us an answer to the question that we're seeking. So I found acceptable words. And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. He said it wasn't just stuff that taught how we ought to live and be good people and things like that, but there was truth in what I wrote. These proverbs that I collected, I arranged them in such a way that they reflect what people ought to do who have character and want to add meaning to their lives. In fact, it has a lot of truth in it. Of course, as we view the book of Ecclesiastes, we believe that it's inspired of God, that it is truth, that it reveals what people thought and what they think today. And it is a source of wise sayings, which is the definition of a proverb. Now, the words of the wise oftentimes are not easy to accept. They are as goads. That is, they're like a rather long stick with a nail attached to it so that you can prod a goat or a donkey and make them go faster, pull a load. Then he uses a rather strange illustration. They're as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. And these masters of assemblies are the ones who built carts for the animals to pull And so the masters of the assemblies, as they put together the cart, they would put a protruding nail so that if the oxen began to hold back, these carts would push a little far and might engage them in the proper place and encourage them to move a little faster. But neither the goad nor the nails that were fashioned by the assemblers were pleasant. We have a saying, proverb, the truth hurts. Many times it does. Whether it's a proverbial truth or whether it is an inspired truth. Proverbs come from our culture. But these proverbs in class in Ecclesiastes, and these are tried and true principles that can keep you out of trouble and perhaps keep you from creating a really bad mistake. And further by these, my son, be admonished, that is, to be corrected and to be encouraged. Of making many books there is no end, and much study, that is, much reading, is a weariness of the flesh. Evidently, he had done a lot of research. And he said, I can write a book, but I'm not the only man that's ever written a book. There are a lot of books out there, and there are tremendous sources of information for us today. We are indeed living in the very midst of the opportunity to gain knowledge from the ancients. So many sources on the computers, the internet, access to books that are put on CDs, cheap. Really inexpensive. If you want an education, if you want to know, and you'll take the time and you'll read what's out there, you can become a well-informed person because there's that information there. And there'll always be a book published again that has the answer to, or the seven principles of wealth or the seven principles of health will turn into another book of the 14 ways to be happy, and on and on and on and on. We'll be publishing books till Jesus comes, trying to solve the emptiness of life with the getting of knowledge. If we could just know enough, it would solve our problems. But many times, just knowing so much may complicate your problems. So what he's saying is, look, you get books and you read them and you study, you may not be able to come to the conclusion you'd like to. In fact, it may contradict what you think you ought to find in these books because they really don't have the answer either. So the search goes on and on and on. So I said, let's hear the conclusion. Let's cut to the chase. What's the bottom line about all this stuff in life? Well, the first thing you need to do is fear God. What do we mean, fear God? Well, you need to acquiesce to the revelation that this book gives to us, to acknowledge it, that it is from God. You're never going to be satisfied with life. And I can assure you, you'll never be satisfied with afterlife until you acknowledge the fact of God Almighty and you acknowledge the facts of what He says you are as a human being. Now, when you begin to read the Bible about yourself, it will be a goad and it will be nails. That will make you stop and think. That will prick your heart. That will disturb your sleep. That will disturb your conscience. But that's the only way you're going to find a way to keep life from being meaningless and empty and void, and you cry yourself to sleep every night because you don't know why you can't be happy and why you're so frustrated and why everything just seems to be working out wrong. Fear God. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge the inspiration that He's given to us in His Word. Look to it for guidance. Read it and study it, because in that book, and there was an end to books when it came to the Bible. We're not looking for more revelation so you'll get some sort of surprise. If you want to know who God is and what you want and what He wants you to do, it's right here in this book right now. And it'll never, ever change. So what is it that gives us something solid? What is it that will give us a foundation for a life? It's something that doesn't change. Something that doesn't change. That's one of the mantras of the political world at this particular time, is change, change, change. We need change. Well, you change from one carnal thing to another carnal thing, and you still have carnal things. I don't believe our taxes are going to cease. I don't believe that we can get along without a military force to defend ourselves. I don't think we're going to be able to give health insurance to everybody so that we live 120 years old and then die in good health. I mean, there's some things that are not going to change, people. But we can change spiritually, and we can be saved by the grace of God, and we can find satisfaction in this life. Fear God and keep His commandments, that His teachings. What God teaches us to do is the good way, the right way, with some satisfaction, leaving room for the flesh to give us trouble as long as we live, but there can be a deep feeling of security and fulfillment when we lie down at night, knowing that we acknowledge God, we have read His Word, we've been taught His Word, we submit ourselves to His Word, and therefore we feel comfortable in His presence. For this is the whole duty of man. Well, that sounds so simple, but it really isn't that simple, because it tells us to keep His commandments. That's not easy. That's a difficult task. It challenges us in every area of our lives. And here's why. Here's why we ought to acknowledge God. Here's why we ought to not depend upon the books written by mankind, of which there is no end, and that we're going to finally get the answer in reading what men have written as we read through manuscript after manuscript and search and Google everything that we can think about and find an answer to, perhaps, on the internet, because God's going to judge things. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Wisdom comes from knowledge and experience. Gain a knowledge of God's Word. Pay attention to what the Proverbs teach, which comes from human experience. Put together your own experiences, human wisdom that has been tried through the ages. Gain some wisdom from your experience, your failures and your successes. Put all of those together, and then you can look back on your life with some satisfaction, but you can look forward to the judgment seat of Christ with deep satisfaction, knowing that you are a child of God and you have followed the teachings of God in regard to salvation, to living a Christian life, and you're prepared for the life to come. Let's stand and sing, please.